David, it seemed like business as usual on Capitol Hill yesterday with the certification of the presidential elections. It feel like maybe a return to normal considering what we witnessed on the Capitol grounds 4 years ago?
Well, it was certainly different than it was 4 years ago. I mean, it moved very quickly without controversy, without any motions from the floor. So, you know, that's the way it has been up until 2021. So perhaps we have, from a combination of changing the law, the Electoral Count Act, and just simply the dynamics of the election gone back to the way it was.
David, what do you make of the president-elect saying yesterday on his Truth Social that the Biden administration is making the transition difficult?
Well, on one hand, you know, I get his point. I mean, because President Biden has made a number of executive orders, for example, limiting areas for oil and gas drilling. But, you know, this is very commonplace among changes in administration. It's the Trump administration did the same thing as the when the Biden administration was coming in. Executive orders tend to be very easy to change. Now, some of the ones that Biden did recently are more difficult. But, you know, the president-elect is going to be facing a very similar situation to what he faced in 2017 when he came into office for the first time.
Turning our focus a little closer to home, as we mentioned at the top, many of Governor Stein's cabinet picks were sworn in yesterday. The rest of them will be sworn in either later this week or next week. Anything of note stick out about some of the selections the governor made to lead these agencies?
Well, I think in some ways, Governor Stein has chosen some people with experience. They may be in new roles, like Secretary Cashwell, and then bringing in some new folks. So I think it's going to be, in many ways, similar to that of the Cooper administration in terms of how the agencies are led. The one cabinet secretary that had trouble during the Cooper administration was in environmental quality. It looks like that's going to go much easier this time because the person has experience. So I think we're going to see a relatively smooth transition from the Cooper to the Stein administrations in terms of leadership.
The General Assembly, I think, scheduled to be back next week. What should we be watching on Jones Street over the next couple of weeks and months as they get their feet wet with this new session?
Well, a number of things. I mean, they'll really ramp it up toward the end of this month. And a lot of what they're doing now is determining rules and how they're going to operate and that sort of thing. But they'll get committee meetings started up around the 29th. You know, we'll be looking for a lot of the same things we normally look for. You know, how do they progress on the budget? They'll look at, for example, some leftover bills. They've got medical marijuana and casino gambling left over from the short session. So it'll be interesting to see if they take those up. Obviously, aid to Western North Carolina still remains a big ticket item on their agenda. How they approach that, given that they're depleting the rainy day fund. So they'll be looking at replenishing that as well.
Changing gears on you for a second, if I could, David. There continues to be this ongoing back and forth between Allison Riggs and Jefferson Griffin in this race for the state Supreme Court. What's the latest there, and what comes next in this race?
Well, an interesting move yesterday that was in the federal court system with a federal judge, and he decided to move the case to the North Carolina Supreme Court, which is a very important move on the part of the, you know, what's going to happen between the two contestants for that race. Again, if it goes to the state Supreme Court, they could do a number of things. They could allow the 60,000 names to be ballots to be struck. They could not. They could allow the 60,000 ballots to be cast, or they could even go further and order a new election. Now, that's the least likely outcome in my view. But I think the composition of the court, again, it's a 5-2 Republican-controlled court, and Allison Riggs has already recused herself. Obviously, she's a sitting judge, would be determining her own case. So I think that was a major change in the trajectory of that Supreme Court race. And so in the next couple of weeks, we'll see how that goes.
As I let you go, I would like your perspective or maybe a timeline for former Governor Cooper now to announce his run for a possible Senate seat.
Well, I think, as he said, you know, he's going to take a few weeks off to kind of think about things. But I think given how expensive the race is likely to be, you know, we would likely see something in late spring, perhaps early summer, as being his point of making that decision, just simply because the race is going to be a very expensive one. He's got to raise a lot of money. And if he decides not to do it, he's got to allow other Democrats time to do the same thing.
Kind of piggybacking off that, David, with that race, what's the likelihood that incumbent Senator Tom Tillis faces a primary challenge for that Senate seat?
I think it's likely, just because of his reputation within the Republican Party of North Carolina. He's been censured by the state Republican Party. I'm not sure that even if there is a primary challenge, that he'll be successful. He's a very successful candidate and has faced criticism in the past. So I think he's probably gearing up for a primary challenge. Where that comes from, I'm not particularly sure. I mean, some people have been talking about Mark Robinson, but I'm not as confident about that. But, you know, so it could be a very expensive race for Tillis just because he may have a primary opponent and then a big name as a general election opponent.
I feel like we just got through with political season and we're already starting again, David. It never really ends, does it?
It does. It's a perpetual campaign season.
David McLennan, Meredith College political science professor. I always appreciate the time and the perspective, David. Look forward to visiting again very soon.
I look forward to it as well.